Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
It's Groundhog Day at Star Labs, and Nora is struggling. 53rd time's a charm, perhaps? Cicada has a plan, but so does Team Flash. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, a little AfterBuzz TV music. I was ready to jam out just because it's normally, you know, how we feel, but we're not going to be doing music today. Hey guys, what's going on? It is the after show for The Flash, season 5, episode 14, Cause and Excess. This was a fun one, and you'll want to make sure to stick around to the end because we also have some juicy news and gossip. But let's just jump right into this show. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and I couldn't do it without my peoples.
Hey y'all, it's Chauncey K. Robinson.
What's going on, guys? It's Zach Silverman.
All right, so what do we think about this whole show, Cause and Excess? It gave me the Groundhog Day vibes. I was like, we keep waking up almost to the same spot, and these things are happening. What do we think about this show overall?
The episode?
Yeah.
It was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Just fun. It was interesting.
It was a filler episode. Yeah. I mean, that's what I felt like. It was definitely filler. That's fine. I mean, once again, Nora sort of learned a lesson, but then it was kind of reversed at the end because she still did the same thing going to Thawne. So, I mean, I don't even know if it was cute. It was filler.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. It was filler, but it was fun. So I'll just go with both of you guys. It was filler and fun.
Filler and fun.
Double F. Yes.
We have Derek in the chat saying, and I don't know if this is right, but how convenient it is that the episode aired tonight when, I guess, Happy Death Day 2
came out. Is like a slasher flick that's sort of a Groundhog Day theme. Yeah. At least the first one was.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, well, thanks for pointing that out, Derek. There might be some parallel there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
Maybe they planned it.
Yeah, right.
They do that a lot, I feel like.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a smart thing to do, I guess, if we're all in the mood, you know, we're feeling the Groundhog Day vibes, might as well keep it going. So we have the show opening up with, okay, so Nora is, of course, getting herself into trouble. I love the way they set this show up because Barry has to go. So he's automatically out of the picture, and the only advice he gives her after, you know, he's so fatherly, like, it's all good, don't worry about it, just, you know, be calm and slow down, or, yep. You know. So that's the only advice he gives, and then all of this stuff starts happening. So what do we think about the very first time we see, who got killed for Killer Frost?
Killer Frost.
What did you think about seeing Killer Frost? First, Iris getting kidnapped, then Killer Frost getting killed. What did you think about that first setup?
Well, you're jumping so far ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
we have finally the cure of the synthesized cure.
That's why Barry left.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got that. And then the first problem was the fact that it would take a month for it to incubate, right? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
For it to incubate.
29 days.
29 days, so they had to go into the Speed Force. So I guess they are in the month of February then.
Yeah, which was a very brilliant suggestion by Sherlock, by the way, with brains like Caitlin Sisko's around. I was really glad he was able to suggest to Barry, like, oh, well, if you go into the Speed Force and do this, it should take 60 seconds.
Yeah, it was really cool. I made a note about that when I was just like, we were seeing kind of the parallels of all the Harrys that we've had, where, mm-hmm. like, all the Harrys have always been smart and had a way to add to the team. And this is... Like, I'm finding myself, again, liking more and more of Sherlock and how he fits into everything. Because he's, like, part of the team, but at the same time, he's not. You know, he's, like, there on retainer almost.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, I like that Sherlock was able to kind of figure that. He is a detective. He's able to deduce things. And he was kind of like, I mean, the first thing I did think, I guess what I thought was, like, maybe if Barry, like, goes around a lot of times, like, that would do something.
Yeah, just do it on
time. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I mean, something science-y like that. So it was cool that he came up with it, which is just showing that he's a, you know, valuable part of that team. Of course, we know when it comes to the wells of this world, show, he probably won't last next season, but, you know, probably be another Wells or whatever. But so far, he's been very appropriate. And I love that he's still very focused on what is going on with Nora, too. Like, he's still suspicious of her at
times.
Oh,
yeah. He has, like, amazing cues. Like, you could see him just, like, noticing her and honing in on
it's still very much something that he pays attention to, which he needs to, because she's up to something constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. And he has those instincts to check that out. And I'm so glad he's on it, too. So Barry goes into the Speed Force. He seems pretty nonchalant about it, like it's going to be all good. Nora was nervous off bat. Did that make you guys feel any kind of way?
It kind of did. It made me think that she had been through this already. But I guess she hadn't really, but it made it seem like that she had.
Yeah, I thought she was having an issue with not wanting him to go away because she was afraid he wasn't going to return or something was going to happen. But I guess something did happen, but it's not what we expected. So,
well, her mom got kidnapped last episode. So, you know, she's realizing with all these powers, she still can't do anything about, you know, a lot of things with Cicada. So she's fearful.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we've seen leading up to this particular episode is that stuff goes wrong. And at least I kind of appreciated her humility to not be like, yeah, Dad, I got this. You can leave. Because she was nervous because she sort of realizes what the rest of us realize, which is she messes up. And, like, it takes her a lot to get things done. And I think it was good that she kind of understood that, even, you know, that lack of confidence, which can be good because you work a little harder because you don't want things to go wrong. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree. Talk about working harder. She went in. So
53 times.
Yes. That was even. Yeah. So we'll get to the end of some of that. But now, yes. So the first thing that happened, it made me so uncomfortable to see Cicada in the apartment.
Yeah, which, where is the security at that he was able to get in like
that?
Well,
okay, so there's no, this is the, it's not the apartment. It's where Ralph works, where, like, it's kind of the dark side.
So she's an office near him, right?
Across the hall from him.
Okay,
across the hall. Yeah, it's like the dingy side, the, like, not so good part of town.
Okay.
Where the Irish guy, was living with Ralph in his, like, work office or whatever for a little while. So I get how he was able to kind of get in, and it made sense. I was turned around because of the reflection. I thought, like, he was floating because he could fly. I thought he was, like, outside the window.
That's
for a second.
I was
like, whoa. Like, what? All right.
Just got real.
Yeah. Man, the writers, they make it a point to, like, when sometimes things, the cell phone killed me every time.
Oh, everyone being so
Every
slow to turn on
time.
The thing.
I'm sorry. Like, we've seen so many times with Iris with her hand in the pocket, just press the button. And now it's like, let me take it out, open it up.
Yeah.
Oh, getting off. You know, like, what?
Yeah, at this point, there'd be, like, some type of technology that they could do voice command or something. Like, alert. You
right.
know, like, Bluetooth
hey, Siri.
Exists. You know, we have AirPods now. Why can't they do a thing, you know?
Or like, maybe, like, their heart rate goes up or something like that. You know, that's
something
not,
I don't
know
if
they want it so that when they're hair.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We got married couples on the show.
Like,
that shows up and be like,
no,
Mom, Dad, what's wrong?
You don't want that. No, no.
Terrible.
Maybe I'm watching myself being born.
Oh, my gosh. You just had to follow through with it. Oh, my gosh.
That's
Nora walking in herself being conceived.
Anyway, on that note, guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of Talk TV. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. That rating is amazing. We love it. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so that you can get involved in the conversations. We have you here in the chat. We love talking with you. Be a part of that home as well. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, and make sure you guys stick around to the end of the show so we can share our news and gossip with you. So, yes, let's talk about this day one or moment one, Groundhog moment
yes.
one.
I love all the things that they set up to replay over and over again. And we got slight variations of it because we've seen it enough times. We got the Ralph with Cisco, and every time with Cisco, it's a different type of thing. We have the coffee shop and that what is his name?
Date with Camilla. Or
no, no.
Ian.
And then that.
Thank
that,
you, Ian.
I think the one that stole the show was that waitress at the end. Tell me about it.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
They must have, like you were saying when we were watching it, they must have had so much fun on set. Like, they had that one line and have to do variations. It's like what you've trained for all your life as an actor. The many different ways you can say something.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want coffee with that?
Right. Yeah.
Do you want coffee with that?
Exactly. Yes, this had to be super fun to shoot. I was thinking, too, I loved how they kept the sequence because it made it really easy for us to follow. But I knew something was up the first time when Killer Frost got daggered like that. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people in the chat were saying they were very distressed when they saw that Killer Frost got killed. You know, I mean, it was dramatic. She did get laid out. And, you know, it's one of those things where we kind of knew Excess was going to go back, though. So I wasn't too distraught. It was just the first thing I thought, I wrote it down. I was like, she saw it coming. So why not push Caitlyn? But I realized, you know, they did another variation where she did push Caitlyn and then it hit whoever. I think it hit Ralph. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was pretty much what we were seeing was that no matter what she did at that moment, someone was going to get hit with a dagger. So I understood that. But I did initially write down, she saw it coming, why not push Caitlyn? But, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I really... It was very nerve-wracking because Cicada, he has this power over the team. Like, we're seeing this struggle going back and forth, and I still sometimes don't know how it's going to turn out. Like, are they actually going to be able to capture him and kill him, or are the headlines and things going to be, you know, what they are? So the next person to get kidnapped was Ralph. And so we're seeing these distress signals go off for each one. Yeah, and it was pretty... It was just pretty much the same thing, you know, each and every time. But it was still kind of, like, cringeworthy to see all your friends get stabbed
especially,
in the back.
Yeah, if you have favorites. Like, Billie Jean Girl 24 says, I got choked up seeing Ralph die after what happened last season to him. And he did go through a lot. So it was, you know, one of those things where it's like... But I guess, once again, I felt like we knew these people weren't going to die. There wasn't going to be, like, a major death. It was just more so. I got to the point, and I think we all were saying it while we were watching the show together, was why hasn't she told them yet? You know what I mean? Like,
that's,
you know,
kind of
it
alarming.
Went through 52 times, which I sort of thought was, like, a shout-out to the DC 52 comics, or is it New 52 or something
New 52.
That they were doing?
New 52.
That reboot and of the universes. And, you know, it was just like, why not after the third time? She just kept coming in and saying, you guys have to stay here. And I was just like, why can't you tell them what is happening?
I kind of think it's the same thing as when Barry first experienced time travel. He didn't really quite know how to take it or understand it and how to process things. And then I don't think this is her first time going, like, she's obviously gone back in time, but never gone back in time to change something where she was. And I think in her distraught mentality is why she couldn't go into the Speed Force and why she couldn't go further back past that fixed point. And I just think she didn't think to tell somebody. She didn't think it would help them. She thought, you know, she could do it on her own and that, like, nobody will know. No one would be the wiser kind of deal.
That just is so strange.
Maybe the
to
first
me.
Five times.
Maybe the first five.
Like, I don't know. By 52, though, like, you haven't let them know. All these variation ways that you've been going through this, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, the first time she has to take this on, it was like, we knew it was going to eventually get to the point where she was going to have to tell them, right? Like, just storytelling perspective. We knew that she was going to have to tell them eventually. So the fact that it had to take most of the hour to get there kind of felt a little contrived.
Well, we had an hour to fill. This wasn't an episode. It was a filler episode. I mean, this wasn't an episode to make a crucial point like that. Now, if the writers were smart, they would have saved this for a different time.
The writers are smart.
The writers are smart. They're very smart.
They're very.
If I was one of the writers, I would have done something along the lines of what they alluded to with Legends of Tomorrow. There are fixed points in time that you cannot mess with.
Exactly.
It just, whatever you try, it doesn't, nothing happens. Someone should have died. That would have been a great episode. I mean, we do have a lot of people on this show right now. If someone were to die, it would be sad, but...
So, if you was the writer, who's going? Who leaves the island?
Who would you kill off, Zach?
Well, with your news and gossip, I mean, I don't know, but...
Yes, I know.
Yeah, okay. Not like you.
I'm not on The Flash. I don't. You can't kill me.
You can't kill me.
I mean, who would you kill without at this point without kind of messing up the show?
Tell us in the chat, y'all. Who would y'all kill? who would you kill on The Flash?
I mean, we've had people die on like the other DC shows.
No,
and
I get
huge.
You.
There's a big crucial moment that like it, I think fuels the show to continue for, you know, it brings ratings up and everyone's like, no, how can you do that? And everyone's like, no, it's okay.
Right.
And these fights happen and it's just talk to be talked. So.
I mean, I do get that point because it goes to kind of this idea of, well, first of all, I mean, the question is,
people die in the comics, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so they die in the comics like all the time. Yeah. And we also know in comics, people don't stay dead. And
exactly.
Same thing with shows. But, you know, I guess my question after we talk about this part was, did she mistakenly turn back time? Did she just kind of happen to do that? Or did she like aim to do that? Like, oh my gosh. Cause she ran away. So it was kind of like, where was she running to if she didn't know that she was about to do that?
Because
she didn't say
the
fight.
Yeah, I think the first
time.
I think
she mistakenly did it.
Yeah.
And then realized what she was doing. But her powers also are powers to. See, this is where it gets confusing. Like, her powers. Is it. It's reversing time, or it's kind of like reverse entropy kind of
deal? Yeah, she can. We saw her do that with Barry that one time when she was trying to. Where Spin had made her almost kill Barry, where she made it so as they were running, she made it so he was able to come back to her. He like. She reversed his
but
running.
But what's going
momentum.
On in the rest of the world at that moment? Is it just a fixed point where that has happened?
Yeah, so. I don't know. Yeah, that's one of the. And it might be good to know like her powers in the comics a little bit more, like the distinguishable powers that she has more than just being a speedster, because that might explain it a little bit. But, you know, that was my one question where it was like she ran off. Was she running off because she was scared? Because Iris was still tied up. So it was kind of like, where are you going? If not, I hope you were running to reverse time, because where else were you going? And who were you going
scared.
To get?
Well, she probably was running to go get her dad.
Yeah, I think she was trying to back to Star Labs for whatever reason.
For somebody. And, I mean, I don't know. I just, that was a little weird to me. And, it does go back to that point of someone, like, if this was a thing where she couldn't do that in that moment, it would have been a case of someone was going to die. It was going to happen where someone was, and maybe we'll see that, you know, that there was a ripple that someone, maybe because Killer Frost was the first to die, maybe she was originally destined to die at that moment and something else happens. Because like Barry has explained and Jay has explained to Barry and someone has explained to Jay and so on and so forth that, you know, there's ripples. So if excess stops someone from dying, that probably affected something.
I mean, she stopped all of them from dying. So there's going to be some massive...
A few times.
Well, the thing is, not more than one of them was supposed to die. One person was supposed to die.
Right.
So it's a question of who was that one person and what does that affect that they didn't die? If they follow through with this, if they make this more than just a filler episode, that would be the one redeeming quality for this not being a filler episode. If there's a throwback to this.
I kind of think there will be. I just spaced out on what it was, but they had mentioned something else that I feel like will be brought back. I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I'll let you know.
That would be good. I do like like you said, the order of the deaths or whatever.
What do we have? Caitlin and Ralph.
It was Iris, Ralph. Wait.
Well, Iris didn't die.
Oh, Iris didn't die. Yeah. Caitlin, Ralph, Cisco.
Cecile died.
Cecile.
And that was it.
There was a montage, so maybe all of them died. She's, and Nora pretty much said all of you die at some point.
Yeah.
But sometimes the first person to die was Killer Frost.
Yes.
So.
Why couldn't Cicada? I guess Cicada couldn't die this episode because I was just not without Barry there, not with this lineup. But I was kind of hoping that this was the wonderful end all be all, and he got the dagger to the throat.
I was hoping so too.
I mean, I think, and you know, this goes back to, I reported earlier on in the season that the showrunner said that we wouldn't have a big bad the whole season. Like, they were going to break this up into parts. So I think he is still the big bad. But I do think maybe they are going to a part where Thawne may start to emerge, or whatever's going on with that whole thing is going to start to emerge. Because the thing is, Cicada's kind of one note at this point, isn't he? It's more so, we already know his MO. He just wants to kill the Metis. The thing is, they don't know how to kill him. That's the crux of that whole storyline. We don't know how to kill this serial killer. There's no hidden agenda. He doesn't have a bigger type of plan. So there's really nowhere else this can go at this point. They kind of have to wrap this up now.
I really hope they do. I'm very tired of him. So much to the point where they cut his, scenes when he talks. Like, they cut to behind his head. Like, no, there's not much of him, like, actually talking. It's just always, like, you see the reactions of the actor.
Yeah, it's more so, it's become a little camp, you know, where it's kind of like, where it's just like, I'm gonna, and it's just like, that's his MO at this point. So I'm just kind of glad that maybe at the end Barry came back, like, got it. And it's like, yes, now use it so we can move on from this at this point, because this got stale a couple of episodes. If nothing else, it serves as some kind of teaching curve for Nora every time they deal with him, but that's as much as he's served at this point, because he's not a part of any bigger plan. He's not seemingly a part of any bigger plan.
It doesn't seem like it at all, but we're also getting every lesson that Barry has already gone through. Like, I guess this is cool for, like, the new viewers who are coming on to, like, watch and maybe haven't watched season 1 and 2 and 3, but it's kind of all the same lessons. Like, we've seen all these things before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only one difference is that she's pretty much working with his evil, like, major nemesis. So that would be that's the only catch in this situation, I feel like, and which is kind of the contradiction, because every time she learns a lesson, she goes to Dawn and we're like, well, all that went out the window. Yeah. You totally learned it the wrong way. So
it's like,
I don't know.
It's like going back to your ex-girlfriend every time, like, she breaks up with you and she's like, okay, I really want you back. And you're like, yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah.
It's like, when are you going to freaking learn? You know?
Yeah.
Especially after, like, we had Cisco, like, even say, like, you know, I was wondering why I was vibing so much. He's like, you know, this isn't the first time I died. I got a vibrating hand through the heart. And he, like, specifically said through Eobard Thawne. And
she just,
like,
looked down. I'm like, he killed Cisco.
Your boy is a killer.
Like, Cisco. When are you going to wake up?
Like, you still working with this guy. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that Zach brings up Cisco, because we were actually talking about why we were watching it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you said was, why wasn't he trusting his vibes initially? And it did get to the point where he figured it out through his vibes of something's off here.
It's funny, I feel like I was watching, like, season two, like, mm-hmm. the beginning of it, when he started getting his vibes and he was vibing himself dying from season one.
Right.
That makes sense, where he's just like, what was that?
Right.
Like, oh my god, that was a weird dream or something. But, like, you know all this. Like, you know what a vibe is. Like, you feel it. So I don't understand why he was reverting back to who he was before he had powers. I mean, his mind wasn't wiped. You know, his powers were dampened.
I mean, I guess I could see the other side of the coin, where it was like, you know, how could he really know what was happening if he didn't know what was happening? Like,
that
if
too.
Nora spoke up, maybe paired with her information, it would have made sense. But what he saw was nothing. It was just like, this girl again? I don't know.
I have to disagree with you. He has, in multiple occasions, vibed different Earths, different timelines, and I just, like, you would think you would know that feeling by now.
But, to be fair, the thing that he used to vibe was, like, his death or some, like, major stuff. Right. I mean, the idea that he was kind of vibing a simple date, maybe that didn't... I get what you're saying, though.
Okay.
It didn't ring any bells. It's like,
ring a bell.
I'm, like, vibing this date I haven't had yet. Maybe it's my nerves. Not, you know, Thawne is, like, sticking his hand in my chest. Whoa, what's that?
There's a clear difference between
it's like, I ordered the wrong coffee. Like, I mean, is that alarm? Should I let everybody know? That's the only, but I totally get what you're saying. If his vibes are kind of, in his mind, acting up, it's like, what is that? But who do you ask? Like you were saying, like, you know, who do you ask? What do you bring up?
Yeah.
Poor Cisco. Well, let's talk about him and all his little love he's trying to get.
With Camilla. She seemed very picky.
Yeah, she did. So first of all, the first thing I was thinking just as a woman who dates is like, why would he try to be like a bunch of men she's not with? Like, she's not with them. So why go try to emulate? That's just a little side note.
No, that was the first thing that came to my mind when Ralph dropped that book. And he's like, if you really want to be with her, this is who you should be. It's just like,
huh?
No. Like, that's an ex-boyfriend. Why would you want to be an ex-boyfriend? You know?
I mean, I think from Ralph's point of view, he was probably thinking she has a type.
Yeah.
But the thing is, of course they wouldn't know this, but in every scenario, there was a different guy. So clearly she goes through different guys trying to find the right one that meshes, which might be a problem later on for him and Camilla.
Right.
Like, she doesn't seem to have a consistent type. If we go by what happened in this episode and him coming in as different people each time, seems like this time he might be her nerdy quest.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, well, I done dated an athlete. I done dated a businessman. Here's a nerd guy. I thought you would be smart.
Yeah, about your brain.
Yeah, she just seemed a little, I don't know. I don't know if I ship that yet. I don't know if I ship him and Camilla.
Yeah, no, I don't think she's going to be around much longer. I think it was just a little something to kind of segue out just to show Ralph, because he was so on point with, he didn't introduce them, but he was so on point in the beginning when he took him to the right bar with the leather jackets, blah, blah, blah. He seemed like he was clear about the concept, like, just be you, do you, this is your environment, boom. And then to, try to have him be something else, you know, with the Book of Ralph. His little The Art of Love pages.
It did show his insecurity, though.
Yes.
Which, you know, with Cisco. It showed his insecurity and where he's at. You know, he was still getting over his ex, and he's at a point where he can't even trust himself for a very simple date with a girl he already knows likes him.
Yep.
Like, you know she likes you already, but you still, like, do a 180. But, you know, that's the world. I mean, I guess it could be relatable to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I love, just like some of the other parts that we've loved about the show, is he was able to verbalize that, take responsibility, understand his actions, verbalize it, and be like, oh, you know, when he's talking about the vibes and he should just be himself.
Yeah.
And it ended up being part of the aha moment that Nora had. So I guess with her doing 52 of these attempted rescue missions that did not work out, the notes. I thought that was a good addition when she was like, oh, well, I took so many notes on all the different ways. We know everything. Let's use that. That was very Team Flash of them. That felt very Team Flashy.
We could have probably did that within 20 minutes.
Yeah. that is what makes this episode just a little tough. It's like, you know, once you go through one of these, it's like, okay, well, that happened 52 times. The end. Awesome.
Yeah.
They went over the board with saying 52 times, which DC does that any point to try and put 52 into, like, their comics, into, like, the show, saying it, you know, emblem or whatever, just because of New 52.
Yeah, New 52.
Okay, yeah.
Which, the comic I don't like those.
What?
Why?
What?
I don't.
What?
Don't like Moving it. On.
She what? Like
Go ahead.
Oh, man.
What I did love is
that. So good. Are you kidding me? Batman? Probably one of
Can we move on? This is the Flash, guys. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, what I did love about this is I really love the way Barry gave it to her. Like, 52, that was kind of a lot.
Right?
He went in a little, he gave her a little extra.
Right? You know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Black Magic 99 in the chat has capital letters saying you wouldn't need notes if you just told them from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yes, Black Magic. Mike we agree.
Black Magic.
Mike drop Black Boom. Magic.
Yes.
Yeah, we like that. But I'm glad Barry shared. And then I think you mentioned last week, you made the reference.
The mug.
And you referenced the mug.
I got the visual of it. It was great.
Yeah.
Now, did Jay do that? I can't remember.
Yeah, it
he
was
did.
Jay.
He did.
He did take a cup thing. Yeah. He had took Barry, I think, to his universe.
He did.
For that one. He was like, you know, every time there's a crack, which I thought I wrote down. I was like, that was a Barry and Jay moment of him talking about the crack remains no matter what you do. I think that was when he had figured out that he had messed up, like, Cisco's brother and all of that.
Mm.
I think that was when he had realized that, like, Jay had to give him the pep talk of it. So,
yeah, and it might be a small thing, but Ian turned to Stefan at the end. There was a new
there's always one
patron
guy in there. I just let them spell my name wrong. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, too. I'm Jamie. I get Jaime all the time. It's like, whatever. If you look at me and see Jaime, that's your problem, not mine.
Well, I mean, that alone right there is showing the ripple in time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's something changed, right?
So 52 changed. Times, that glass is shattered and looking like something else at this point.
Someone was probably supposed to die.
Yeah.
She stopped someone from dying. It's sad. We don't want anyone from Team Flash to die.
No.
But someone was probably supposed to die.
Yeah.
And since they didn't, and they're still existing, that's probably going to cause a whole bunch of stuff. So.
There's going to be some things.
The whole time thing, it's so wonky sometimes. And I know some Flash fans were a little tired of it after a bit, like the whole going back because of all the ripples. Because it can get very confusing.
Yes.
You know, what does it affect? What doesn't it affect and stuff? So it can be a bit much. And so I kind of hope they don't fall into leaning into that too much. It would be cool to see what the ripple effect is, but I also just don't want to descend into the murky world of ripple effects and, you know.
A 12 Monkeys kind of TV show type thing. So question, though, is every time she keeps going back to 49, we haven't seen the clock. Is it still she going, like, is only like a minute kind of passed?
Each time, like 1 minute?
Like 2 seconds or whatever.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand how time is working every time she goes, you got me. I have no idea. But it's a good question.
That time travel is wonky, y'all.
It's very wonky. I will say, you mentioned something about the notes where, you know, it was an aha, amazing moment. Like, cool, this is like what we could use. She shot herself in the foot, though. Did you guys catch that?
How so?
Well, at the end.
Because Sherlock.
Sherlock, she had a notebook full of, like so much more to compare to. I think he's going to come and figure it out eventually.
Well, he did put it into the computer at the end.
He didn't actually have her book in the computer. He had like a page or two or something, right?
Okay.
At first, and he couldn't compare. But I think now he like has her whole book.
Yeah, because they were able to look at her notes.
Yeah.
He probably took some pictures or something.
Yeah. He did his Sherlock thing to make that work. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that unfolds.
I just want him so... I don't know if this is a prediction, but I just want him so badly to like... try and like draw the symbols and like himself on the computer, like trying to like figure it out, and the computer catches him drawing it and be like, match found. It'd be like, whoa, how is this possible? Like, it's me, right? Like, I'm not in the future. Like, I think that would be so cool. Moment.
Maybe that is what might happen.
I know.
I mean, we've got to get to the thon part. We've been saying, the cicada thing is cool, but it's not connected to anything bigger at this point. So it's like, we need to get back to what they kind of alluded to at the end of saving Barry. Barry's supposed to disappear.
Right.
It's got to tie into Elseworlds.
I really hope we don't do this in the last two episodes of this season, which we probably will. And it's like having to deal with what is really hanging over our heads, which is the fact that Barry's supposed to disappear soon or in a couple years.
I just got a quick thought about something, but I don't know if this would really make sense. So all of the deaths were alternate reality, but I'm thinking when Cisco sat down for his last date and things were the most normal the last go round. The team was working together. They had an amazing plan, which before we get into news and gossip, we'll talk about that scene. But then even the normalcy of Cisco walking in as himself, blah, blah, everything seemed so much more normal on the 53rd time.
Yeah.
So what if all the other 52 times were just like little
anomalies?
Yeah, like mix ups.
Jamie, someone was supposed to die.
Oh my God.
It's supposed to
thinking on the fly here. It's trying so to figure positive. It out.
No, supposed to allude to teamwork always works. Okay?
Yeah.
You can't do it go about it on
but
your
someone
own.
Was supposed to die.
Yeah.
Dang. So what do we think about that scene though? That was a pretty bad scene.
It was cool.
Like that was awesome.
I was confused a lot actually.
What, the scene where they were...
Tell
I didn't
me how
know
I'm
really
confused.
What was going on. Like, there was that, like, ice thing going on, and there's two breaches,
She needed to be slowed down.
It was a distraction, right?
No, she literally needed to be slowed down. She went through, she grabbed onto Ralph's elastic arm to slow herself down. Then she went through Killer Frost ice to slow herself down more. And then she went through Vibe's...
Breach. But what was she
to slow her? She needed to slow herself down enough not to go back to the point of where it all began.
When Ralph
but
comes
just
in.
To fast forward
she
a little bit.
Just a little bit to when the thing got thrown and they got put back and the cicada's thing came up just to hit him.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She needed to be slowed down because that's why she said afterwards, like, well, maybe now that you guys have done it, I can do it myself. She physically needed to be slowed down, which was the most base, which was cool, you know, but she physically needed to be slowed down. So all three of their powers worked to do that. So she wouldn't go all the way back.
Yeah.
So that.
I thought the way it looked was great.
It could be a little confusing.
It was a little confusing, but.
But I think it worked. It was a nice little. Kind of like, you ever played that game Mousetrap where the ball goes and it hits the thing and then it does that thing? That's exactly what that scene felt like to me. It's like she grabbed his hand, she went through the thing, and then she pushed him and that landed. It was very a Mousetrap moment, DC style.
And he got hit in the shoulder again. Cicada's shoulders are just all out of whack. In the chest area, shoulder. I was hoping it was going to be the throat. But, with that being said,
he wants Cicada gone.
Yeah, it was like it was a nice circle moment to just be like, oh my God, yes, I have to slow down, and that's what your daddy told you to do before he left. So that was great. It was a lot of fun. I'm disappointed that she went back to, you know, of course, Thon, and really believes that he's there to save her dad. But okay, I guess we're still talking about
he's got
an ace
up his sleeve somehow. So we'll
see. Absolutely, because he doesn't care about Barry.
No.
With that being said, why don't we jump into some news and gossip?
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so we have a rumor with a lot of you have been talking about in the chat. We've been buzzing around that Carlos Valdez, Cisco himself, may be leaving The Flash. So rumors are circulating that Cisco may not be long for The Flash TV universe. It was first reported in Disgusting Film, that website, where they explained that Superbro Movies writer Daniel Rickman had stated that he feels that it's very likely to see Valdez's departure from the show. And this guy is like he usually gives a lot of scoops and stuff, and he tends to be right when it comes to stuff like that. You know, Valdez has been on the show since the very beginning. He is original Team Flash member, and the rumor has it that he's leaving the show to return to Broadway and continue his career on stage. So,
respectable.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's respectable. Cool. Maybe it's been 5 years. So maybe that's a thing. But also, we also know that it's only been a few sources that have been reporting this. So we have to take this rumor with a grain of salt that it is still very much a rumor at this point. I think it's being fed into because of the fact that we haven't seen Cisco as prominent. But then again, this episode, he was very prominent. So who knows? So also, Tom Cavanaugh has made a major announcement on his Instagram for good when it comes to him announcing on his IG video that he is participating in the Give It Up for Project ALS Challenge. The project helps to fundraise for a cure for ALS, which is a fatal neurological disorder that impacts a person's ability to speak, swallow, walk, and breathe, and it affects adults of all ages. Every 90 seconds, someone in the United States is diagnosed with this illness, and it can be fatal. And what Tom Cavanaugh said is he's giving up swearing in order to, fundraise for this. And every dollar that goes into his swear jar will be donated to the project. And also he did the IG, of course, to bring attention to the project and the campaign, which started in the holidays. So that was a very great and charitable thing. So we got some happy news charity, and we got some, maybe sad rumors going on.
You know, I was watching some videos about Cisco, and even one of the main cinematographers that films him was kind of interviewed, or something was leaked, and even he said, he wouldn't give a comment towards whether he's staying or leaving. Him talking with Cisco all the time, saying, "Oh yeah, well, what is it? Are you gonna leave or not?" And he withheld what he was told from Cisco, from Carlos.
Yeah.
Which is kind of not cool, because I feel like if it was something as simple as "Oh yeah, no, I'm staying. Those are just rumors." It wouldn't have been something,
Yeah. So, I mean, there's also contract negotiations and stuff too. Who knows how long his contract is for? True. Maybe he might want more money that CW can't give and things of that nature. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Zach, you've been saying that, I feel like, at least 4 times that Vibe is going to be gone. Cisco's going to be gone.
2 episodes ago. The second one we got, seeing the cure.
Yeah, you were really
Well, this is what they do. They slowly phase people out so that, when they are gone, it's not like this, abrupt shift, So.
Yeah. Well, I would be very sad, because Cisco is, literally probably my favorite character besides Nora. I mean, I'm sorry, besides Iris.
I was about to say, girl, you
don't like
Nora.
Yeah, I know.
Nora.
I was like, y'all know that's not what I meant.
Nora's
mama.
Like Nora.
Yeah, I love the actress and her character, but the Jane stuff Kenny's that Nora gets into, I cannot.
Yeah, I mean, it would be sad. He's an original Team Flash member.
Yeah.
And I love his character because he's not just comedy relief. And sometimes he gets relegated to that, but he's not just comedy relief. His character has layers. And when he's given a good plot line and good material, he really delivers. Absolutely. Like that whole thing around him losing his brother in that universe, it was heart-wrenching stuff. And he played it so well.
Yeah, he's amazing. So I guess Broadway, I mean, if that's his thing, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to him. Do what you do, boo. All right. Well, that was, do what you do. Well, that was great. They did find a cure. So I don't know. What do we think about predictions? Well, they didn't find the cure. The cure is
done. It's made.
Yes. It's made. It's official.
60 minutes.
Right.
So predictions.
Let's do it.
And now you're after Buzz TV.
You can go, Zach.
Zach.
All right, I'm going to take King Shark for $500.
Oh, he's going to win. Yeah, we saw that.
King Shark, for sure.
Trailer that...
Yeah,
Grodd. And I'm gonna go with Grodd. I think Grodd could take... Because he can, control minds sometimes and stuff.
Sharks have a different type of mind, though.
Okay, but I'm talking about controlling people around him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but Grodd is... I mean, King Shark is, beastly.
I don't know. I mean, Zach, you know your stuff, but I'm with you kind of on Grodd. I just kind of think, I don't know, Grodd is pretty bad.
Yeah. He's resourceful. He's super smart.
He's very, I would say so.
You know, brains versus brawn, but, you know, Grodd has both.
Not Camilla to say would love shark. Him.
Who?
Camilla, Cisco's girl.
That's funny.
She wants brains.
Yeah. Well, there you go, girl. Do you have any other predictions you think just besides?
Just the fight.
Yeah, just the fight.
I mean, this next episode's pure, like, this is a cool filler episode that I'm okay with. Yeah. It's just going to be the two.
Do you think it's going to be a filler episode? It might be something deeper going on.
Like what?
I don't know.
Well, that's what predictions is all about.
I think we're going to find out maybe we might find a little bit more what Thawne's MO is. I really can't wait for Barry and Thawne to face off again. Ooh. It's so great when the two of them have scenes when Tom Cavanaugh's playing Thawne and, you know, Grant is Barry. And I just waiting for that, especially with Barry knowing that Thawne's been messing with his daughter in that way. So that's going to be intense. I'm predicting that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, including the fight with Grodd, which Grodd and Sharkman. What?
No, I'm just saying everyone in the chat is saying Grodd, so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Y'all know.
I'm about to make a lot of money on all you people. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Whatever. All right.
No betting. It's illegal.
Side note, that was a good way to cover that up. We don't bet around here. What do you mean? No, but I think what we might see, just because they have to continue to tie the episodes together, is Sherlock coming up with something. We're going to actually see something from the journal.
Sherlock.
Yeah, I definitely see. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're going to see more of what Sherlock has found.
That's cool.
So it'll be like the catalyst, finally.
Yeah, start to get this stuff rocking for the week after next.
We'll be back March 5th, y'all. March 5th.
Man,
we
are going for 3 weeks? Is that what it is?
Yes.
What am I going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do, but hopefully you guys continue to check in. Thank you so much for tuning into our show. We will be back after The Flash March 5th. So we'll take a little brisake and have some fun. Thank you guys for watching. I'm your host, Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
And hey, y'all, once again, it's Chauncey K. Robinson. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Chauncey K. R. and also on my YouTube channel, which is self-named Chauncey K. Robinson, the twisted girl next door.
Hey, guys, my name is Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH, Silverman 2, and Supergirl. I'm back on Sundays at 10 o'clock, so come check me out there.
Yeah. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views of those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.